Your Bibles, please turn to the book of Luke this morning, the book of Luke. And I just want to say while we're turning there, thank you so much for those who helped decorate the sanctuary here with the Christmas things on the weekend to get us ready for the Christmas month. I appreciate that very much. And also, I just wanted to let you know that Jesse and Tara are going to be going to Coal Lake on a regular basis. They're trying to help the church there. The pastor of the church in Coal Lake has resigned for personal reasons, and they're helping the church up there. They know the church. They have family members there. So just pray for them. Let's pray that God will bless and direct and help them as they seek to help that church and in the days ahead. And they're here with us today, but we'll be gone next weekend again. Back up in Coal Lake. Okay, let's take our Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 17, please, verse number 11. Verse number 11, we'll read responsively, and we're going to end on verse number 19. Luke 17, we're going to end on verse 19. I'll read verse 11, you read verse 12 with me. Now, if you have a pew Bible there, somebody could tell me what page that's on, it'll help me. I see people trying to find a page. What is it? 1,085, good. Okay, 1,085, and we're in verse number 11. We welcome all of you who are visiting this morning. Some of you are first-time visitors at Prince Albert Baptist Church. You should have a little gift that was given to you by the ushers. There's a card there, fill it out, and it's a gift from us to you. And if we can be any other help to you, there's a little part on the bottom of that card that says if you would like a visit or you got questions, you fill out that, and we'll get back to you and help you in any way that we can. Okay, I'll read verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee together. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. I've entitled this message, I don't know if it's the right one or not, but I had a hard time coming up with, I've called it skin deep faith. Faith that's only skin deep. And we're going to see why. Skin deep faith, okay? Let's pray. Father, help me. It's always hard to bring a message knowing there's so many different people, so many different visitors, and Lord, I want to try and minister this morning to everybody and help everybody hear and see something in your word that is so precious. And Lord, your word is precious from beginning to end. Lord, thank you for your word. But we're in one little tiny part of it this morning, Father, and you know each heart here. You know each need, and I pray for your help. I pray you would guide my heart, my mouth. I commit myself to you. And Lord, just like this Samaritan that gave glory to you, we want to give glory to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Skin-deep faith is what I think we're going to see here. We have 10 lepers. 10 lepers came. Jesus is passing through Galilee and Samaria. Now, here's another time where he passed through Samaria. Now, Samaria was not the most popular place for a Jew to go. Most Jews would go around Samaria. Samaria was the down place. It was the dirty place. It was the outcast place, Samaria. But we see a few times when Jesus went through Samaria. And we see a few Samaritans. We learn lessons from the Samaritans in the Bible. And we have we think we're this and they're that. But Jesus broke through those barriers of race and distinctions and showed here with the Samaritans often, he taught us lessons that were going to be eternal truths. And Jesus here is going through Samaria and on his way to Jerusalem. And we have 10 lepers who stood afar off. I want us to just note here in verse 11, he was in the country of Samaria. And then in verse 12, it says there were 10 men that were lepers. They stood afar off. They were plagued. Leprosy was a plague, an incurable disease. It'd be something like addictions today. Just like everywhere they'd go, they'd try to get help, nothing would work. And it was an awful thing to have, to be a leper. Now, thankfully, we have medicine today. We have very little leprosy in the world as the disease was known then. But then there was leprosy compounds. People would be excluded. You couldn't circulate and mingle with the society if you had leprosy. So leprosy had its very, it was a terrible disease. You would lose your feet, your limbs would get sores on them, and they would gnarl up in your joints and your hands. And there's still places in the world that have leprosy, but there's treatment for it. But in very poor countries, there's still country people who are affected by leprosy. And you can Google and see what it does. It's awful. It's just terrible what leprosy does. And it cripples you. It basically cripples you, and you eventually die a long, slow, painful death. They were plagued. And they were standing afar off because they wouldn't come in with the rest of the people. But they see Jesus. They wanted to see. They'd heard about his miracles. They'd heard about what Jesus could do and curing and helping people. So here they were standing afar off. Verse 13, it says, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And these men cry out almost in unison, oh Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. All 10 of them together. Could you turn me down just a little bit, please, Colton? Have mercy on us. And they echoed out this, and it was the right cry. It was the right cry. They cried out. But I think we're going to see at the end of this lesson that many of these men, they cried out. They knew Jesus had the answer, but they didn't have the faith to do what Jesus really came to do. They had skin-deep faith. And their cry always, when you cry to God from a heart, God always hears, and he always responds. He always responds in one way or another. Verse number 14 says, Jesus responded with the Levitical law. Leviticus chapter 14, you see the whole chapter dedicated to the law of the lepers, the whole chapter. We don't have time to go back there, but if you want to see what lepers had to do, if you were a leper, the observance of the leper, what they had to do, they had to offer sacrifices, and if they could be cleansed, the priest would have to examine them one at a time and declare them clean, and then they would offer sacrifices for that and cleansing and so forth. There was a long, long, complicated list. So Jesus tells them, go to the priest. God never circumvented the Old Testament law. He always observed it. He knew there was a purpose for it, and in his obedience, submitted to the Father, submitted to the Word. And by the way, it's a lesson for us. We must be submitted to the Word. God's Word is what should be our authority in life, God's Word. We are to be submitted to the teaching of God's Word. Then it says in verse number 15, it says, verse number 14, sorry, go show yourself unto the priest. And they head down towards to see the priest. They were being obedient. And obedience always brings, so they made a call, a cry. The cry brought response. Number two, they were responded with obedience. Jesus says, go to the priest. Now, these guys, these were Samaritans. They were not Jews. They were Samaritans. This guy was a, and but they obeyed. Jesus said, go to the priest. They gather up and they head for the priest. They're going down towards wherever that was. And it says, and it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. So one of them, they're going along, he's crippled, and all of a sudden he sees his hands becoming normal. The other guy, he's hobbling along, he's crippled his feet. He can hardly, his feet are all tight, nutting up. They got sores in his toes and his ankles, and he's hobbling along. He's got a crane, just like Grant. He's got a cane, and he's going along, and all of a sudden he can walk. And his pain is gone. And his ankle is better. And his hands and his wrists and his elbows. And he's walking, and they're getting one of them, and then the next one, and then the next one. Now, remember, these guys, they'd never lived a normal life for many years. They didn't know what it was like to socialize with normal people. Their social life was lepers for years. They had never known what it was like to go to work with normal people and have a normal job. They were lepers. They couldn't function like that. They had been plagued with leprosy. So nine of these men, they're thinking, wow, we're normal now. We can start living like normal people. We can start doing the things that we've never been able to do. I can get a job. And you know what? Some of these men, these 10 men, they'd never had a chance of ever having a relationship with a girl, with another lady. And all of a sudden, these guys start thinking, you know what? That girlfriend I used to have, I now have a chance. And these guys already started thinking about things that they could do because they were healed. And they forgot who was doing the healing. They forgot who had helped them. And one man, verse 15, we see one. Now nine, they just get caught up. They get sharing with each other about their future. Well, boy, I can have that business. I can get that business going. You know, my uncle's business, he said I can be have a part of that. And somebody else said, yeah. And the carpenter, you know, I can be a carpenter now. I'll be able to go and work with my dad and my brothers. They'll have the Joseph and Son Construction. I'll be able to do that now. And they all of a sudden, they're starting to go. They're going. They're going to go. They're going to go to the priest because they told, but they're cleansed. And they're going to be examined by the priest, and the priest would examine them one at a time, and they're going to go, but one of these men, look at verse number 15. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. This one man, he knew what had happened. This wasn't normal. This had to be Jesus Christ, had to be who he said he was. He had to be God the Son and Son the Son of God. And he turns around and with a loud voice, while the other nine are heading out pursuing their dreams and ambitions, one is turning around and he says to Lord Jesus with a loud voice. Verse 16, he didn't just start with a loud voice. Verse 16, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Note that. He was a Samaritan. He wasn't a Jew. Now, Samaritans didn't do this to Jews, and Jews didn't do this with Samaritans. There was a real racial distinction over there in Jerusalem around the Samaritans. Jews would walk around Samaritan country, and Samaritans hated the Jews, and that's the way they were. But here, they make the note here, and he was a Samaritan. You know what? It doesn't matter what you are, what your background is, what your race is, what your if you know Jesus Christ, all of that goes. If you know Jesus as your Savior, he breaks down all of the walls, the racial walls, the ethical, all of the barriers that are there that we so often build around us in our society. And he bowed and he gave thanks. He got on his face. He knew, this man knew, that God had done something in his life. Verse 17, and Jesus answering said, Jesus answers, now he responds, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Question. Verse 18, he's asking this man, there are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. Now he's a stranger because he was a Samaritan. He wasn't a Jew. He was a Samaritan. He was outside of the fold of Israel. Now maybe some of these other lepers were Jews. They probably were, but they were in the leper colony. In the leper colony, it didn't matter what you were excluded outside, and you would be there, and you would not be allowed back into society until you were cured, cleansed. Jesus, verse 19, and he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith hath made thee whole. You know what happened here? This is what I believe happened, and I believe what is being taught here, is that 9 of the 10 only had skin-deep faith. You know, a lot of people, they have enough faith. They'll believe in Jesus as long as Jesus is helping them with something physical at the present time. But once the present physical need is met, they forget who he is. They forget what he can do. They forget what he has done. And you know what? That kind of faith will do nothing for you, except help you for a very short time. You know what God does often is he helps us with a physical need. He's really trying to reveal things, reveal to you who he is, and that what he has said in his word is true, and he's trying to draw you through his goodness to himself. That's what God always is doing. In every miracle, everything he does, he's trying through the goodness of God draw you to himself to show his goodness so that you will have a faith that will be deeper than skin deep faith. Because skin deep faith isn't going to help much. In fact, it will not save you. It will not save you. Skin deep faith may, you will see Jesus, who he is, you'll acknowledge it, but it will not save your soul. There's a very interesting word here. Verse number 19. I did a word study. Actually, my wife and I were doing devotions one day, and this word was in our devotional. That's where I started thinking about this. And so I got digging and looking, because you know what we should do every time we read something in the Bible? Or hear something even from me, even if I preach something, the onus is on you to go home and study it out and make sure what I'm saying is what God is saying. And that is what every Christian, that is what every believer ought to do. It's not what I say. I try to be truthful and I try to do my due diligence and I try to bring you the truth, but you need to go home and be sure that what I am saying, because I'm just a man and I just do my best to bring the truth, but as all of us have the responsibility to study and make sure what we're reading is true. Now, this is a word here. Jesus said in verse 19, he says, and he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. You see that? His faith, this faith that this man had, that the other 9 did not have, this faith was saving faith. The other 9 had skin-deep faith. They were all caught up with now. They were going to take and they were going to go and Now we can live normal lives. Now we can go and enter, we can go into our, back to our job. I can go back and I can work and I can make money and I'm going to be normal again and I can do what I have always wanted to do, my dream. And they let the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life draw them away, and they missed the very most important thing. It was Jesus. Jesus. But one of them got his senses. He was caught up in it for a few minutes, and then he realized, this is God here. Jesus. This isn't just a miracle person. This is Jesus, the Messiah. He's the Messiah. He's the one who saves the soul. He's the one who gives eternal life. That's the message he'd been teaching all along. And he turned around and got on his face before God. He didn't care who was looking. He didn't care about the other nine. He says, Lord God, and he glorified God. And Jesus said to him, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, in our youth the other night, I taught a lesson on Friday night in the book of Proverbs that says we find the Lord when we seek him. And we find his wisdom when we seek and dig like we're digging for silver and for gold. Proverbs teaches that. We find him when we dig like we're digging for gold. Many years ago, I lived up north, and there was a trapper up there. His name was Fred Riddle. I don't know if some of you from the north, if there's anybody here from the Denny group, but up in the north there was this legend. His name was Fred Riddle. He was a trapper that had been sent by the Queen of England to the Northwest Territories in about 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s, in that era. And he would trap wolves, and he would also be able to poison. The Queen had given him a mandate that he was able to poison, not just trap them with leg iron traps like everybody else had to. He could actually poison them, and he had a license to do that. And he made a lot of money trapping, thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars. But Fred Riddle was a strange guy. He dressed in caribou skin. They said when he got in a taxi, you'd have to clean the whole taxi out after, because it was hair from one end to the other, because all the caribou skin that he would wear. Caribou skin pants, caribou skin coat, and caribou skin hat. And he was a trapper. But he didn't trust banks. And he would take his money and he would put it in little tins. In fact, I don't know if you're familiar, but in the old days they used to have what's called tobacco tins. And he would put these money in tins. And to this day, somewhere up in the Northwest Territories, hidden in the sand or someplace, there are tins of cash, hundreds of thousands of dollars, because Fred Riddle died and never told anybody where it was. One day I was flying up in the north, and we landed on a lake called Rennie Lake, which was where one of Fred Riddle's cabins was. And I just thought, you know what? I am going to go up and I'm going to check this cabin. You never know. I took a stick and I started digging around that cabin, pushing in the sand. I didn't have a shovel, but I had a long, pointed, sharp stick. And I'm pointing around all the way around that cabin, just digging. I thought, you never know, maybe he just put it outside his cabin, underneath the cabin or something like that. And my stick hit something. My stick hit clunk, clunk. And I dug and dug, and I found down below the sand there was a hard metal something. I reached down and I dug it out. It was really buried in there. I dug it out with that stick and I finally got that thing out of there. And it was a big, heavy, copper Hudson Bay kettle. I don't know if any of you know what that is, but it was called a Hudson Bay kettle. And I thought, I wonder what's in it. I thought, maybe this is where he put all that cash. This might be the best flight I ever made in my life. I pulled it out of the sand and it was empty. I took the kettle back to Fond du Lac, and I would show everybody, and everybody would come to our office, they would look at that kettle, and they'd say, "Wow, that's a Hudson Bay kettle. That's a Hudson Bay kettle. That's a Hudson Bay out of copper." It was heavy, like it really weighed a lot. It was put on a stove, and that's all the trappers and everybody would cook on these copper, big copper pots. And I didn't realize even that thing was a treasure. And I had it there and showing everybody. I thought it'd be nice till one day somebody stole it. They took it. It disappeared. And never did find out where it went. So some rascal got that kettle up but the point is that treasure. You are not going to find treasure in God's word unless you get serious and dig for it. And that means everybody. That's not just the pastor. You ever been in a service and God, you're in less, maybe it's Faith Bible Institute, and you're in a service and the preacher's preaching and you know, you overall, you don't pick up too much out of the sermon, but all of a sudden there's something that hits you. There's something. You know what that is? That something that's God trying to talk to you. It's a truth that God is trying to get your attention about, and he wants you to take that truth and go home and dig. Dig with that truth. Dig to find out if it's right or wrong. That's what and it takes digging. Now, here's one of those words right here. He says, "And the truth hath made thee whole." I started doing a word. Now, underneath these words, these English words, there are Greek words. And Greek words are what the original language of the New Testament was Greek and the Old Testament was Hebrew. And I thought, I wonder what that word, whole, thy faith hath made thee whole. And I looked in Matthew chapter 16, verse 25. Turn your Bibles there if you want. Matthew 16, verse 25. Matthew 16, verse 25, and we'll see here, this is where this word is used. And it's translated into the English word, a different word than the word whole. Now bear with me here, hang on. I'm going to try to give you something to show you the difference between skin-deep faith and heart faith. Faith that goes deeper than skin, okay? And he says in Matthew 16, verse 25, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." You see that word in the first part, "For whosoever will save his life," that word save, that's the same word, same Greek word. It is save. You want to know another place where it is used? Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." See that word, to save? It's exactly the same Greek word that was used when Jesus said, "Thy faith hath made thee saved." That's really what he's saying. You know what, young man? It's your faith. You coming back here, getting on your face, you coming back here with your heart now, not just with your skin, but with your heart, and giving glory to God and giving thanks, you know what that did? It your faith went from skin faith to heart faith. It went from skin deep faith to heart faith. So this word, he says, "Son," he says, "arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee saved." It says in the book of another place, in Matthew 18, verse 11, he says, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." That was Matthew. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. If you want to go there, Mark 16, the last chapter of Mark 16, verse 16. "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." Same word. "But he that believeth not shall be damned." You know, that's salvation. Mark 16, 16, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." He's saying, and it's not getting baptized that saves you, but he's saying a guy that has the faith to believe and a faith to then follow with baptism that faith. He says that faith that says, God's word says, do it, I'm going to do it. That faith that says, go to the priest and see the priest. That faith, he says, when you have that kind of faith, that faith is going to be saving faith. It's going to change you. Faith. Jesus healed 10 lepers. Only one of the 10, who was a Samaritan, returns and gives thanks to Jesus for what he had done. Jesus did a second thing for him. He didn't just cleanse his skin. He cleansed his soul. He gave him saving grace, saving faith. The other 9 lepers were healed, but were not saved. I want to show you one place here where we see another man in the book of John, chapter 5. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 5. And it is very interesting here when you do a word study on this same word, whole. Okay? John chapter 5, verse 5. Verse 5, John 5 and verse 5. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. So a man had a bad 38-year disease, whatever this was, an infirmity. And Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, Will thou be made whole? You know what this word whole means? W-H-O-L-E. It has nothing to do with being saved. It is strictly physical. It's a totally different word, whole. Now let's keep reading. Verse 7. The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise up, take thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which came unto thee? Take up thy bed and walk. And he that was healed, now watch this verse, really important. And he that was healed wist not who it was. You know what this is saying? It said this man didn't know who had healed him. It says he did not know who it was that healed him. You know what it's saying here? He says this man did not know it was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who had healed him. This is another man who only had skin deep faith. Let's read the rest of the verse. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. And this word whole is not the same word as we used about saved. He says, You're made whole. He says, You've been healed physically. He says, Physically, you've been helped. Do you understand that? He met him in the temple, so this man's over at the temple, and at the temple, and Jesus comes and connects with him again. He says, Do you realize what I've done for you? How I've helped you? Now look at his next comment. Look at the rest of the verse. He says here, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. You know what he's telling this young man? He's telling this man who had been healed from a disease of 38 years. He is saying to him, There's more to it than being healed. He's saying there's more to it than just your disease. He says, You've got to understand who I am. You've been made whole physically. This word whole, it's physical. A totally different Greek word. You've been made whole, but not the whole that I want to make you. I want to save you. See, we can know about Jesus. We can come to church and hear about Jesus. And we can even be helped by Jesus. And I promise you, every time you go to church, you'll be helped. And every time you hear about Jesus, you're going to get help. But if you don't make it go to your heart, it's only skin deep. And it'll never change your life. It'll never do you. And the worst part is it'll never take you to eternity. It has to be believed. And he tells this man here, it's another man with the same situation. He had heard, but he never believed in his heart. And this man, he says, go and sin no more. This is about sin. I'm here to deal with sin. I'm trying to help you with your sin. I'm trying to get to the root of your problem. The root is sin. Remember John the Baptist? I will take the axe and lay it at the root of the trees. John the Baptist had a message. It was about sin. It was about getting to the root of sin. And he said, that's what I'm here for, too. It's to deal with sin. It's to go to the root of your problem. It's sin. You know the heart of every man, the heart of every woman, the heart of every one of our problems, it's sin. You don't have to tell a child how to do wrong, but you sure have to work hard to get a child to do right. You know why? Because in our nature is a sin nature. It's sin. And Jesus died, and he gave his life, and his blood dropped from heaven and earth. It dropped from heaven to earth. It's the only payment, the only thing that would satisfy God, that would deal with the problem of sin. And he tells this man, he says, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing, come unto thee. Worse thing. Worse than what? Worse than being in a disease for 38 years. Worse than being a diseased invalid for 38 years, and now you can walk, and now you can live the normal life. And the nine lepers were living life now, and they were enjoying some things that they never had before, but it's not enough. It's got to go from skin-deep faith heart faith. Nine of them missed it. One of them got it. And this guy here, he was being warned. Jesus' final words in the temple, he says, go and sin no more. It's about sin. Go on and dealing with your sin. And he says, I am the key with the sin. I am the key. You're in the temple, but it's me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus' message from the beginning, every miracle he did was always tied to believing on him. It was always tied to repentance and belief and faith. It was always. And you know something? I believe that there are a lot of Christian people, people in Christian churches, maybe I could put it this way, that have skin-deep faith. They've been helped, and they've come to church, and they've heard some things, and they like it. Maybe they see it's good for the family, good for the children, But they're willing to keep doing it. But I want to tell you, the whole issue here is about sin. It's about dealing with the heart of your sin. And it's about being deadly serious. It's about digging for truth. And it's about saying, just like that one leper, falling on your face before God and saying, thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you. They hadn't even seen the cross yet. They were still looking forward to the cross. But now we look back at the cross. The cross, what Jesus did was for our sin, and that we can now come to him with our heart and say, Lord, I know you're real. I know you're true. I know you died for me. And you know what? You will then be made whole. And that word whole is saved whole. That means not just your skin. That means the whole you. That means your heart, your soul, and your spirit. All three parts. That's what saving faith does. I want to ask you this morning, we're gathered here, and I don't know all of you, but maybe you're one of those people that says, Pastor, I think that's me. You know what? You can become out of the nine, that group of nine, and you can become part of, join with the one. It's always few there are that find. There's few on the narrow road, many on the broad road. And it's always a big, tough decision. You know that leper having to leave those nine and go back to Jesus? He broke rank right there. He broke rank with that nine that he'd been with for years and for years. They're all going, talking about their dreams. I don't know if they'd gone a day. Maybe they'd gone 2 days on the way to the temple. I don't know where they were on their journey, but all of a sudden they started getting healed. And they're right away, I'm healed. Look at this, my ankles, my hands. Wow, my face, those scars, those things on my, they're gone. God, look at you, Ralph, Larry, Joseph, Luke. You're changed. Your skin is normal now. Wow. Wait till my mom and dad see this. My uncle, I can go and work for him again. I'm going to have that job. I'm going to buy that car I've been always looking for. I'm going to start living. That girlfriend that I used, I'm going to be able to. And they lost their eternal perspective. They lost what God had really came to do, is to give them faith deeper than skin deep faith. I hope yours isn't just skin deep. It's got to go below the skin. It's got to go down to the heart to save. Let's stand. Father,